Hi, today is September 16th, 2012, and this is, for a change, the Mobile Views podcast. This is Todd Ogasawara, and with me I've got the usual Comic Views crew, actually, my friends Jay Stone and Emil Reyes. But before we started the Comic Views podcast, Jay and I started our rant about the iPhone 5. So we decided to do a Mobile Views podcast for a change, and I haven't done one since March 1st when I spoke to the nice folks at Sentia way back when about Sentia Touch 2. But in any case, here we go. So the iPhone 5 pre-orders were available last week, Friday, September 14th, and it went through the roof. I think that the original ship date for September 21st was pushed back for people who got in late. It was a madhouse trying to get the pre-orders, and I expect millions and millions were sold around the world. But Jay was noting before we started a podcast, and man, there's a lot of haters out there. So Jay, why don't you take it away with what you perceive is out there, what you've seen out there.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of haters, and I don't understand it. It's like, okay, just even what you just said, how like they quote unquote sold out. There was one guy who wrote online, I don't even remember his name. There's so many people write about tech nowadays, it's just ridiculous. And it's almost like they have to manufacture a story. That's my opinion. What are they doing, right? Okay, last time, when they had the iPhone 4S, they told us how much they sold when they sold out in a day or whatever it was. This time, it sold out in 60 minutes, but they didn't tell us how many. So how do we know it's as good as the iPhone 4S? They never gave us a number. But they'll give us numbers later. And I read that and I went, who writes these things? How can you write things like that?
So is that right? It sold out in less than an hour, at least the first shipment for delivery on the 21st?
Yes, within 60 minutes. That's what I've been reading. I don't know. I read a lot. And I read mostly through Flipboard because I like the Flipboard interface. So I read FlipTech, right? FlipTech and Flipboard. You guys use Flipboard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. I love Flipboard. So FlipTech concatenates stories from all these different tech blogs and magazines or whatever, right? And then, you know, I just wanted to find out what was in the iPhone, when is it, you know, how much is it going to cost and everything. And then I read that one article which said they're trying to compare. They said that there were so many articles. Oh, iPhone sells out in 60 minutes. And it was like right within an hour, they had already pushed back the ship date for people. So instead of a week, it was like 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. Yeah, so the first set of iPhones already sold out within 60 minutes. And then some guy has to write online, oh, but we don't know how many really sold out. Does it really matter? I don't understand.
I have a feeling people like that, no matter what you do, you're not going to make them happy. I mean, you're delivering a state-of-the-art piece of technology with really advanced engineering. And, you know, people are getting technically they're getting a deal on it in some cases. And it's, you have people who will troll it no matter what you do.
Yeah. You know, another thing that Jay mentioned before you came on board, Emil, is that a lot of people are writing that they're disappointed that they knew everything about the iPhone 5 before it was released, so there was, from their perspective, no surprises, no, you know, one more thing kind of thing that Jobs used to do in the old days.
I mean, I've read so many articles where it's like, oh, there were no surprises. Everything is what people said it was. Oh, Apple is going down and they suck. I mean, not people didn't use that word suck, but the implication was there. The way they wrote it and the words they used, it's like, oh, well, we didn't know any. There's nothing new, therefore they're not innovative anymore. And then people had to point out, I don't even understand how that's a valid argument. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Because you already knew what was going to be released.
Well, it was a change, you know. So speaking from the other side, I guess, and I don't know if it's a devil's advocate role, but so their view is that in the old days, you know, there was always, like I said, there's always a surprise and a few things that the rumor mill didn't get right. And then they're happy because there was something new on announcement day. But this time, the reporters and the rumor mills pretty much got it on the nose. The size, the shape, the fact that it didn't have NFC because it has a metal chassis. You know, all of those kind of details were pretty much dead on in the rumors that emerged in the days and weeks preceding the release of the, or at least the pre-order of the iPhone 5 and announcement. So I guess that's their cause of disappointment, that they're not having fun anymore, because there's no fun on the release day and announcement day, which was, you know, a few days before. On what was it? Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? The announcement was made, and pre-orders were on Friday. So that's the crux of their complaint. But you know, my take on it is Steve Jobs is gone. You know, it's unfortunate but true. It's a different company. Tim Cook is going to run it, though he wants to run it, and apparently part of that is news is allowed to leak out, or maybe not allowed, but is leaking out for whatever reason. This may have even happened even if Steve Jobs is still alive. I mean, the company can't remain the same forever. As it's growing, especially, I think it's very difficult for it to keep those secrets in-house. And, you know, I quite frankly don't know how well the iPhone 5 is going to do. I should note, I did buy one. I pre-ordered one, I should say. But I don't think the company's going to go downhill quite yet. They will someday. I mean, that's just the way companies are. You know, nobody stays on top forever. You know, we've seen Microsoft fall and Nokia fall and BlackBerry and all of these companies that at one time were the top of their game and are no longer for one reason or another. This week is not it.
Yeah, but did you hear? I read online about how they lied on their... Was it on at their announcement or on their ads? Did you read about that?
Who at?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So when they did the announcement, the official announcement for the Nokia Lumia 920 Windows Phone 8 device, they showed a video that was purported to have been shot with the, you know, super duper camera on the Nokia 920. Unfortunately, it was shot with a DSLR. And in fact, I haven't looked closely at the demo video, but if you look closely at the video, you can actually see a reflection of the guy using the you know, digital SLR to record it. So they faked the demo video.
That's just so stupid. Why bother? Don't even show the video.
Yeah, well, this is a different rant, but basically, Nokia has a different problem. Their problem is that Windows Phone 8, at the time they had made the big announcement for the Lumia 920, was not done. In fact, it may still not be done, according to reports I've read. Yeah, I mean, Microsoft apparently is behind on, you know, actually shipping the release to manufacture bits. So Nokia apparently had already scheduled their hardware announcement, you know, to be before the iPhone 5 announcement, right? Mm-hmm. And so they had to show something, and they showed unfinished product. Do you know that when, you know, so they have the hands-on room, right, where the people who are on-prem, the reporters who are on-prem can go back and take a look at the announced device. They would allow the person to hold the device in their palm of their hand but not touch anything because obviously it wasn't working.
You see, that's like, it's like when they came out with the Surface and the thing wasn't working.
Yeah.
That's just like, give me a break.
Right.
Like I was saying before we talked, the thing I think is the best thing out of this announcement of the iPhone 5 is that the iPhone 4 is free.
That is amazing, isn't it?
I just didn't get that.
Yeah, the iPhone 4 is now the new freebie. My phone is now valueless.
With a 2-year contract, it's free.
Right.
And for someone like me that has a, you know, I have an old style flip phone, that's like a... That's a stellar upgrade for me. I've actually thought about that because I go, because I had to pay for my phone. Yeah. I had to pay like $20 or something.
Well, you know,
iPhone 4 for free.
Yeah, the iPhone 4 is a good phone. I mean, I've been using it since it was released over 2 years ago now, right? I think it's 2 years and 3 months or something. So I'm actually off contract, although, you know, with my pre-order, I'm back on. But so it's a good phone. I'm not going to say it's a bad phone. But really, you know, if you're going to pay, you know, even $200-$400, depending which iPhone 5 you buy, that is a fraction of your total cost because you're going to have to pay $85 to $100 a month for your service. So, you know, you're paying over $1,000 a year for service. Over 2 years, you're paying over $2,000. So buying a phone for $200 or $300 or $400 is a lot. I'm not saying that's not... You know, I'm not saying that's nothing. I mean, that's certainly money. You know, people have to go out and earn a living and pay for it. But in the big scheme of things, that's the smallest part of your cost.
I wish they had those prepaid, is it pay-as-you-go or prepaid plans, like how they have on the mainland? Cricket does that.
Yeah, you know, I think, I'm not dead certain, but I think Cricket or maybe some of the other prepaid plans are actually going to get the iPhone. I don't know which one. I don't know if it's the 5, but I think I read that somewhere. In fact,
well, I know they already have the iPhone.
Yeah.
Or iPhone 4S, something yeah. like that.
The only company not getting an iPhone is T-Mobile. Those poor guys.
But in Europe, Deutsche Telekom is going to get it.
Yeah, that's I don't even pretend to understand how all these licensing things go. But you're right. Yeah, Deutsche Telekom, which owns T-Mobile USA, is an iPhone vendor in Europe, but their subsidiary in the U.S. Is not. Hard to figure. Although, did you read that T-Mobile has already announced that they're going to be providing the frequencies to let you bring over your iPhone to T-Mobile?
No.
Yeah. So they're going to have the micro SIM for you to put in your iPhone, and they're saying they're going to have the, you know, because AT&T and T-Mobile use different frequencies. And so in order to get you that 3G coverage you need, I don't know about LTE, but 3G coverage you need, you're going to be able to take an iPhone, an unlocked iPhone, jailbroken unlocked iPhone, and move it over to T-Mobile and get 3G. And I guess supported and, you know, I think there's even a URL you can go to T-Mobile for, you know, how to get your iPhone over there.
Yeah, I read that they're going to provide the SIM, but you're not going to be able to access their fake 4G speed or even their 3G.
No, I think you can because they're actually rolling out support for the frequencies that the iPhone uses on the AT&T network over on T-Mobile.
Really?
Yeah. It's not everywhere, so I don't know if it's here, for example, but yeah, there are parts in the mainland U.S. where that's actually possible today right now.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. But, you know, on the other side of that, when I get my iPhone 5 this week in Honolulu, we won't have AT&T LTE until, I don't know when, end of the year, early next year, I think. So I won't be able to test LTE on this island.
You got an AT&T version?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I thought about it. I thought about going over to Sprint, which has, you know, a much better, truly unlimited plan. But the problem is, as far as I can figure, Sprint does not provide an option to tether. So, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah, so they don't tether. So, you know, I didn't move over. And so for those who, you know, those of you out there listening, and by the way, I guess I'll reverse it. This is not the Comics Views podcast this week. This is my old Mobile Views podcast with the same guys, Jay and Emil. Yeah, so, you know, my daughter has an iPhone 4S on Sprint. And it's great. The unlimited plan is truly unlimited. I mean, it's everything, text, voice, you know, data. But there's no option to tether. And I asked when I bought the phone. They said, nope, no tethering. And in fact, that option isn't even visible in the settings on the iPhone 4S for Sprint. And I don't use tethering a lot. In fact, I use about maybe a gig a month max. But boy, when I need tethering, I really, really do need it, and it is a very handy feature to have. And I won't say happy to pay for it, but I'm willing to pay for that feature.
I use tethering a lot.
Really, Emil? Woody?
Whenever I step away from home,
you got an iPhone, or what do you have?
Oh no, I don't have an iPhone. Right now, I'm still
using Android.
And who's your provider?
T-Mobile.
I didn't even know they offered tethering.
Yeah, well, you know, I was happy to hear they were offering that unlimited data plan, but there's no tethering offered in that.
Yeah, and so what Emil's talking about is, and I confirmed this with T-Mobile, is T-Mobile, just a few weeks ago, right, announced their truly unlimited 3G plan, but data plan. But as Emil just mentioned, there is no way to tether using that plan. And when I checked with who is it? Wagner Edstrom, T-Mobile's public relations firm, they confirmed to me that if you want to tether on T-Mobile, you have to stay on the classic plan.
Really?
Yeah, which is why I'm still under classic plan.
Oh, that's lame. How much money do they need? Well, T-Mobile needs a lot. They run out of money. But I mean, man. Is it that expensive? I mean, you were in the telecom industry, Todd. Is it that expensive to run all these systems? Do
they need that much money? Well, you know, I don't know the financials of these companies, but I mean, you know, there are operational costs. These networks don't run by themselves. You have maintenance to do on, especially on the wireless side. You know, you have maintenance to do on the antennas. You have backhaul agreements. You know, there is a lot of stuff. There's, you know, network traffic management. So there is a lot of stuff going on. You know, it's a lot like, well, it's something you're an expert in water. You know, we turn on the tap and we expect water to come out, but it's really not that simple, right?
That's true.
So, you know, but the question, is it fair? As a consumer, I think I'm being overcharged personally. I mean, certainly I think we're being charged and in some other parts of the world, or if we're not being overcharged, we're being charged for services that is substandard from a worldwide perspective. You know, our wireless data is not as fast, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, really? That's true.
Yeah. And also, it's not ubiquitous. So, you know, we can't, you know, if you're in a T-Mobile area without AT&T coverage, you might get some roaming for voice and things, but your 3G is gone, right? And vice versa. If you're a T-Mobile customer, and you don't, the T-Mobile network isn't available where you are, you're kind of so out of luck. Like, for example, for me, and I have T-Mobile and AT&T, so I know this for a fact. If you sit on my couch, you have no AT&T signal whatsoever, but you do have T-Mobile signal. I should also mention Verizon and Sprint work on my couch, just AT&T that doesn't. So, you know, all things are not equal, whereas, you know, in other parts of the world, you can pretty much go at will because they all use the same frequency. Or frequencies, I should say. Hmm. Yeah, but in any case, so the iPhone 5, so...
So why did you get an iPhone 5, Todd?
Well, I'm sorry, say that again?
Why did you get an iPhone 5?
Well, I have an iPhone 4, right? I you know, and my 2 years was up. And so I qualified for the subsidized price, which is still not cheap. But, the iPhone 5 really does offer a lot of things that my iPhone 4, again, I have a 4, not a 4S, does not offer. So, for example, the iPhone 5 has a slightly larger screen, right? Whether or not that's going to be important, we'll find out later. But I do have an HTC HD7 Windows Phone 7 device that has a 4.3-inch screen, which is slightly bigger than iPhone 5, but I do like that larger screen. That is nice. The other thing is that the iPhone 5 has, it has the same kind of camera that the iPhone 4S does, so it has a really nice 8-megapixel camera that does really well in low light, and that is a big step up for me on the camera side. And as somebody takes a lot of photos, I'm popping up my iPhone right now to see how many photos I've taken. I have taken, I'm looking, I don't see it, let's see how many photos, okay, a lot of these are duplicates because, you know, I've edited them, but I have over 3,000 photos on my iPhone 4 right now. I mean, I take, yeah.
What size phone do you have?
I have the 32 gig model, iPhone 4.
Wow, Nick, man. That's a lot of photos.
Yeah, it's a lot of photos. You know, the surprising thing is, though, that is not what takes up most of the space on my iPhone 4. Apps is the biggest storage user on my iPhone 4.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think it might be video, you might think it might be music, you might think it might be photos, but nope. It's the apps that take up the most space on my iPhone 4. Same is true on my iPad, by the way. It's the apps that take up all the space.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That and music. I have a lot of music on my iPad.
And to continue on, Siri. You know, I don't have Siri on iPhone 4. So, you know, I'm looking forward to playing with that. A couple other things. I don't know if we're going to get it in iOS 6, but, the wallet feature, that Apple wallet or whatever they're calling it, that lets you tap in some of your loyalty cards, like airline membership cards and some other loyalty card type things.
You're supposed to get it, I thought.
Yeah, I think so, but I'm not dead certain. And we'll find that out on Wednesday, I want to say. I think iOS 6 is released on Wednesday.
Yeah, I can't use it because I have an iPad 1.
That's right. So iOS 6 will not run on certain devices. The iPad 1, I think, is out. The 3GS is out, so you need an iPhone 4 or newer for iOS 6. And an iPad 2 or 3, and the mythical iPad Mini, which does not exist yet.
But maybe in October.
Maybe. You know, I'm really hopeful. I picked up a Samsung Galaxy Tab 2-7, which is a 7-inch device, in April, I think. And then I bought the Nexus 7 when it came out a few months ago. And I'm sold on this smaller form factor.
Yeah, I like the form factor, too. I have a Playbook, and I like the form factor.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know if carryable is a word, but for me, it's just a much more carryable form factor. I don't need to haul a giant man bag around with me to carry a 7 or 8-inch device like I do with a 9.7-inch iPad or a 10.1-inch Motorola Zoom or something. In fact, I had a Galaxy Tab 10.1 briefly, but it was just, well, it was crashing all the time, and so I returned it for refund and bought the Galaxy Tab, like I said, Galaxy Tab 2.07 instead, and been happy with it since.
You know that Passbook, the thing you were talking about?
Yeah.
The loyalty cards? Yeah, it's going to come in iOS 6.
Okay, so iPhone 4 and 4S users will be able to use it, and I guess
iPad 2 and the new iPad.
Yeah.
And the iPod Touch 4 generation and above.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, you know, because, you know, I don't have, like, tons of loyalty cards, but I have a few, and I certainly use my Starbucks app at Starbucks all the time, and I really like using it.
No, I think I would use it, too, because I have way too many loyalty cards.
Yeah.
You know, like Lowe's and Kmart and Sears and Famous Footwear. I have so many. It's ridiculous.
Right.
You go there and you go, oh, it's free. You can sign up. Yeah, I'll sign up.
Yeah. And, you know, but the interesting thing is because Apple did not go with NFC, Near Field Communications, you know, which some Google phones have, I wonder if NFC is kind of a dead duck now.
NFC never made a lot of sense to me.
I don't like it security-wise.
Yeah, neither do I. It just seems like you're inviting trouble into your phone and your life. The other thing is, like, unless everyone does it, it's not worth it.
Well, that's a thing, you know. That's kind of interesting because Google is actually pushing NFC pretty hard. And you can actually find things, for example, you know, where we live on Oahu in Hawaii. There are actually a number of places that accept Google Wallet NFC payments.
Really?
Yeah.
But you know that whole idea of, I mean, you're paying with your phone?
Yeah.
Wirelessly? That just scares me.
It is kind of scary, especially because of, you know, the statistics of how many phones people lose each year, which may exceed wallets, I think. I mean, regular old-school wallets. But I think in other countries...
It's not the most secured software in the world, either.
That's true. And it also has the...
This is that much better, but I mean, come on.
And there is a lot of malware for Android, according to the security experts. Emil, you're a security expert. Have you been following the Android malware problem?
I consider, because it's an open source, you know, because it's an open source operating system, I just put it as within an update of the operating system within 3 months, you're pretty much compromised.
Well, you know, but
there's a lot of higher level, three-level organizations, you just pretty much, when it comes to operating systems like that, and unless you have what's called a STIG, then they consider any other sort of setup compromised.
Yeah, but you know, on the other hand, the counter argument is that the open source actually is a malware protection, because now you have more eyes looking at the code, and theoretically, at least, alerting other people to you know, potential exploits and that sort of thing.
True, that's a very good faith way of looking at it.
Yeah, but on the third hand, as they say, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Russian government is now forking Android so that they've removed all the googly parts to it to create what they believe is a more secure Android operating system.
Well, the U.S. Army was the same way. They were looking at providing a device for their people in the field, Android-based, what it was going to be. I mean, from my experience alone working with Apple stuff, just the licenses alone will not let it be used in a U.S. government environment.
Really? Because
to an extent. Yeah.
Okay, but the military does use iOS devices, don't they? I mean, I think...
There's a difference between you being used and being issued.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Oh, you see, it's like BYOD, huh?
Yeah, so there are, you know, people who use technology at their own risk, but the actual fielding of military technology is not a simple thing. You know, there's been a lot of things to make it easier, but I can tell you right now, the folks who do security aren't happy with a lot of things to make, with all the advancements and quick moving technology and how to get things integrated. Soldiers can cause huge trouble by bringing their own technology to the field. I mean, it's significant trouble. I mean, I could just socially alone, you know, they have some of the videos that some of the soldiers put out have caused public relations nightmares. Those alone were going against military policies already.
Mm.
But the type of problems you can make by compromise, compromise of just anything from, let's remember when the controversy of an iPhone automatically updating location. If I think of that in a military manner, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, now we're talking about technology that can stream 1080p video and, you know, have a lot more dangerous things about it that can be not only, difference between exploit and compromise.
Right. That makes sense.
But, yeah, to get something 100% vetted through military, the chain to get something issued is a very long and complex process.
I can imagine. But in the meantime, iPhone 5 is going to be available, at least to the people who got in the first hour, this week, Friday, the 21st of September. Yeah, well, mine is supposed to come out and be available that day, so I've got a ship date of that so far. No, Apple hasn't said they're not going to ship it on that day to me. So I'll give you a holler when I get it in.
Yeah, the thing that's always stopped me from upgrading to one of these smartphones myself is just the plan. You know, when you buy one of these phones, you got to buy a plan with.
You do.
And it's just so, like you said, Todd, it's so expensive.
Yeah,
it is. I think my AT&T plan, and I don't have I have zero text messaging, by the way, my AT&T plan to save $5 or whatever. But I think it's $85 or something like that.
Yeah, it's so expensive. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's why when I read about, I think it's Cricket on the mainland, has a prepaid plan, it ends up being cheaper.
Yeah, there are some interesting prepaid plans. You know, I'm taking a look now to see if what Cricket has in the way of iPhones. You know, they have an iPhone 4S on Cricket.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe $100.
And the Cricket, I'm looking at their... In fact, yeah, that's interesting because I really haven't looked at Cricket. Except as new. So mycricket.com/iPhone, and the phone is kind of pricey. I mean, you know, it's like $500 for the iPhone 4S. But they do have a 5.
Yeah, it comes out on September 28th.
Uh huh. So not too far after that. But I think their plan is pretty reasonable. I think it's like $55 a month. Is that right?
I don't know. I'm reading this on CNET.
Yeah, I'm looking at their website. Oh, you know what? Guess what? The iPhone is not available in our area. Yeah, it's not available for us though. Oh well.
From Cricket?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't get that kind of stuff here. I wish someone else in Hawaii would offer that. But the thing is, you buy the phone like kind of almost like regular price.
Right.
You buy it much higher, but then your monthly payment is much less.
Right. You know, the other one to take a look at, in fact, I'm taking a look right now, is Virgin Mobile, because I believe Virgin Mobile uses a Sprint network, so it should be available here.
Is that also Boost Mobile? Is that the same thing?
You know, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised. If they're not the same thing, they might, you know, simply be both be using the Sprint network. Yeah, so they have the 4S. I don't see the 5. Oh, they see they have the 4 and the 4S.
I see it in Australia.
For Virgin Mobile?
Yeah, Virgin Mobile Australia. Apple iPhone 5.
Let's see. Their data plans start at $35. Well, that's without data, though. Of $55 a month? I guess it's $55 a month for everything, which is not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. No, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. So, in fact, they say it starts at $35 a month for unlimited data, web, messaging, and email, but I'm going to guess that doesn't cover the iPhone. I think you probably got to pay a little bit more for the iPhone.
I don't know. I wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. It might be worth checking out. I mean, Sprint's got pretty good coverage here, so.
But their network is slow, right?
It's measurably slower, but as an end user, is it noticeably slower? Like I said, my daughter uses an iPhone 4S on a Sprint. She's never complained to me about speed. Might be worth checking out, doing some research and seeing what you think. Let me know what you do, what you find, by the way. And
that's kind of worth it, actually.
And it says you can add $15 and turn it into a mobile hotspot.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah. I'm looking at a plan right now, virginmobileusa.com. It says all plans include, it says unlimited, but it says all plans include 2.5 gigabytes a month, which is not bad, by the way.
Yeah, that's better when you can get on AT&T.
For $15 more, you can tether. And as a person who tethers now, I can tell you that unless, maybe if you're a traveling sales guy or something, yeah, you might be using a lot of data. Or if you're the type of person you watch Netflix during lunch or something. But for me, for email, web browsing, sending a few documents now and then, I rarely go over a gigabyte a month on my AT&T data plan with tethering. And I would say I tether a couple times a week, minimum.
Mm-hmm. It was funny. The first time I traveled, I forgot to have my Dropbox thing on, and I went over within the first day.
Yeah, you can't do stuff like that.
What did you do?
I left my Dropbox sync on.
Oh!
I didn't even realize it. And all of a sudden, my wireless went down to a crawl speed on T-Mobile, and I was pretty upset because it was so slow that I couldn't even get an email out.
Right.
But what I was looking at is actually getting maybe a Clearwire wireless. And then, because I've been using Ring Central for my business. And I could probably reorganize it and use nothing but that, is what I'm looking at, because it's been a very good service for me so far.
Ring Central or Clearwire?
Ring Central, because Ring Central is what I use now. So I ported my office phone over to Ring Central. And what you can do is you can have it call forward you. You can have it do the thing where it does the forwarding the number as well. So, when somebody calls my office, then my office forwards the call to me, and it rings as my office, so I know it's my office. And then when I call out, I can call out and forward my number so my office is calling rather than my personal cell phone.
Right.
And then the same thing is that I have a different box where I can just store all my voice messages. So if I just have a Clearwire wireless plan, I might it might work because that also does voice over IP as well through your cell phone, and the calls I've been doing have been just fine.
I will say this about I have not used Clearwire myself, but a good friend of mine still has the plan, I think, and he has had a lot of issues in coverage or with coverage.
Okay,
locally.
Clearwire went away.
No, they're still around.
Okay.
Yeah, they're still around. They have some issues, from a financial point of view, from what I've read. But, they've got, aren't they, their investors include, I believe, Time Warner and Sprint and a few others. So, they're still serving up those people. So if you use a Sprint 4G, right now, I think Sprint's also rolling out LTE, but if you use Sprint's 4G now, or if you use a Time Warner, 4G plan, because they have their own hotspot thing you can buy, you're actually using Clear.
It's a WiMAX.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, WiMAX has been, I think it'd be fair to say, a disappointment to a lot of people.
Because of speed or adoption?
Well, I think because of performance. WiMAX was touted as kind of the next great thing, right? I mean, you could have fewer tower points covering a much larger area. So, you wouldn't have to have towers all over the place. It had, you know, high speeds, you know, in tens of megabits per second. And so people thought, well, this is great, right? Instead of putting up 100 towers in a metro area, you can get away with 10 maybe and have better speed and all this kind of stuff. But in practice, in reality, that has not appeared to be the case. I don't know why that's true, but that is what I'm told by people that I know personally who have been using Clear. And I know when I tried the Sprint's, you know, Sprint has a MiFi type device with, you know, 3G, 4G, and that was using Clear, and I had lots of problems in, say, metropolitan Honolulu getting a good signal. So, you know, and I should note, I have not tried it in, I don't know, a year and a half or so, but when I did try it, I was very disappointed. The 3G, Sprint's 3G, on the other hand, you know, which is separate from Clear, it works fine. No issues.
And that's from you or that's your daughter?
My daughter's plan. And also, when I was using a MiFi, when I forced it to go 3G and turn off 4G, it worked fine.
Was that a contract?
That was a contract device. So, but in any case, yeah, so that's what my limited experience with Clear's WiMAX was.
You know, I just accidentally started dictation on my iMac. I don't even know how I did that.
Oh, yeah, that's, you can switch the, I can't remember what key it is, like function key or something.
Yeah. And it's
pretty good.
I didn't even know I could do that. My iMac is so old. I thought I didn't even have that capability.
Are you running Mountain Lion?
I am.
So it's not that old. I mean, you know, 2008 or newer, right?
That's 4 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. I've got the same one. I've got a 2008 iMac I'm using right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I know there's some things you can't do with it. I thought that was one of the things I couldn't do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, the one thing the one reason why I got Mountain Lion?
Why is that?
So that I could have AirPlay mirroring with whatever's on my computer.
I love AirPlay mirroring.
I haven't even tried it.
But it doesn't work with my iMac.
Oh.
So I got that bird thing, Air Parrot.
Yeah. That work okay?
Oh, yeah. It works great. Yeah. I love it. So we can watch Hulu on my Apple TV without paying for Hulu Plus.
Okay, so what about your iPhone plans? Now that you know about Virgin Mobile, and I since they're Sprint, I assume they work fine here. In fact, I think I have a friend or two actually use them. Are you tempted?
I'll look into it. If I can get a prepaid plan that's cheaper, you know, because I look at overall cost. To me, it's always the thing that's always stopped us from moving to an iPhone. One was it was only on AT&T, and we're on T-Mobile.
Right.
So we'd have to slowly move everyone over. I don't want to break the contract or stop the contract because I got to pay the termination fee, and that's not worth it.
Right.
You know, but then AT&T is so outrageously expensive compared to T-Mobile. I have like five phones.
Yeah.
You know, it's my whole family, my parents, and my mother-in-law. So it's a lot. We pay a lot already. And then the other thing is, but I almost thought about it for the 4S because of Siri.
Right.
But then I was like, it's still not worth it. But now that you can get an iPhone 4 for free, or you can get an iPhone 4S for like $100, and now you can get the iPhone 5. It gives us more, you know, it gives us way more choices
right.
to choose from. And it's just a matter of getting a plan that we can afford. And it's not like everyone in the family has to be on an iPhone. Because some people on our plan, like my parents, they're never going to use the iPhone. I mean, they're not. I mean, they're technology savvy enough, but it's not like they're going to. They just use it as a phone.
Right. I know exactly what you're saying. My parents are the same way.
You know, my mother-in-law, she uses it. I mean, she has a Razor, the old one.
Right.
Yeah, we got her a more advanced phone, and she was like, nah, I want the old one. Because she got used to it. You know, she just uses it to call people.
Right.
And that's all she wants. You know. So, it's, and I guess because I started thinking about it because of my daughter, my older daughter. She has a MyTouch 4G. And the thing that she's been on 4G for a while now, and the thing is just that the battery life just sucks.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be interesting because, well, again, I won't find out until AT&T actually turns on LTE in this town, but I'm wondering what my battery life is going to be like with LTE on, and even whether or not it'll make a difference to me. I mean, you know, and it is a specific to AT&T in terms of LTE, but if AT&T is having problems with a 3G network, how is it going to work out with a 4G network, which, you know, theoretically people can draw more data faster?
Yeah. So my daughter today was just complaining because it just dies so quickly.
Yeah. But, you know,
it's T-Mobile's 4G.
Yeah, but, you know, it might not even be the HSPA plus, quasi 4G problem. It might just be because it's Android. I mean, for whatever reason, and then, you know, okay, so I'm going to contradict myself almost, but, you know, my Android tablets have great, I have two of them, right? I have the Nexus 7 and the Samsung. They both have great battery life. I have zero battery issues with the Android tablets. But every Android phone I've used has had battery issues. And by that, I mean, they're not, it's not that they don't work. It's just that they drain incredibly fast.
Yeah.
And these, yeah, but this was both 3G and, you know, 3G/4G. I've got a loaner coming in, I think, tomorrow. So, you know, an Android running Ice Cream Sandwich. So I'll be able to see, you know, how that works out in terms of battery life.
What are you going to get?
Darn, I can't even remember the name, but it is the new Samsung, Samsung Galaxy model, not the S, Samsung Galaxy, I want to say Relay or something, 4G, that's going to be available on the T-Mobile network starting on Wednesday, but I should be getting it tomorrow on the Monday.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
And it's not even, you're not even going to get, it doesn't even have Jelly Bean?
No, it doesn't have Jelly Bean. It's still running Ice Cream Sandwich. But what it does have is a physical keyboard.
Oh, like a BlackBerry.
More like, it's a pull-out keyboard. So it's landscape mode keyboard. So I'm really looking forward. I'm a huge fan of physical keyboards. So I'm really looking forward to trying it out, and I really hope it's good because I've tried some really bad physical keyboards, starting with the original Motorola Droid, whose physical keyboard was so bad that I gave up using it. But I'm hopeful. You know, I've tried some pretty decent ones. LG had a couple of decent physical keyboard Android devices, and I'm hoping Samsung's is good too. But I'll be writing that up for Byte. So I'll take a lot of photos and screenshots and you know, rant and rave about it. Speaking of ranting and raving, I want to rant about one last thing before we close out this special Mobile Views podcast, and that's the lightning connector on the iPhone 5.
Oh, jeez.
You know, so
Okay, why are people hating on it?
Okay, so, well, first of all, let me say that, so every iPod everything iOS has had a 30-pin connector since, what is it, October 2001, when the first iPod was announced? No, I'm sorry, that's not true. That didn't have a 30-pin. That had a FireWire. Okay, so most of the iOS devices in the past, 10 years or so have had a 30-pin connector. And so it was probably about time to get rid of it. You know, it's time for Apple to move on to something more efficient, something smaller so they could reduce the size of the devices and all of that. But the reason people are hating on it is because those of us who have had iOS devices for a number of years, we have an ecosystem that we have spent time and money on. You know, I have speaker docks. I have a car mount. You know, with a 30-pin connector built into it, so I can just plug my iPhone in. We have, you know, extra cables at, you know, $20 to $30 a pop. So for a lot of us, you know, we might have a few hundred dollars of stuff designed for the 30-pin cable.
Well, it was funny. I went to a meeting and I had a presentation by some guy who got a lot of money on Kickstarter, and he actually was one of the first people to come up with colored iPhone cords. And unfortunately, the thing, he hasn't been able to get the things made just because he totally underestimated his manufacturing costs. And now it's been over a year, the people haven't got their product, and now there's a brand new Apple cord.
Right.
Right. So he's that seriously affects him.
And, you know, I haven't verified this, but I spoke to a friend who's, whose company makes, you know, peripherals for mobile devices. And he said that, or he mentioned to me, I should say, and I, you know, I don't want to use his name or the company because I haven't verified this. He told me that the licensing for the new connector is different from the older one. And, you know, for folks who don't know, those 30 devices, those 30-pin connectors have to be approved by Apple, and you got to pay Apple to use that connector. And apparently it is now difficult, different and more difficult to get that licensing for the new Lightning connector. But anyway, so that's
Valenzuela, he was telling me that.
Yeah.
That they weren't going to license it to people. But
right.
I thought I read someplace. Okay, this is what I'm reading off of Engadget, iMobile. I read it on that they're going to, Apple will throw in the first adapter gratis.
Or you mean with the phone? Or with a device.
That's all. It doesn't really explain.
Yeah, yeah, but that's normal, right? I mean, all devices have come in.
Includes a Lightning to 30-pin adapter for connecting 30-pin accessory devices featuring Lightning connector.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Adapter is being thrown in free. You know, I didn't know that, actually.
This is what I'm... This is... Okay, this is what it first... Okay. Okay, then it said it was... That's what I first heard a couple days ago. Right after they announced it, that they said they were going to give it for free. Oh, here we go. Then they said that it's an error.
Oh, so they're not going to give it for free.
Then they took it off the website. It was on the website first. Now they took it off.
Right. Okay, so...
Yeah. Shoot.
And, you know, those adapters are expensive. They're between... I think they're between $30 and $40, depending which, or you know, something like that, depending which one you get.
I agree with you. Then they shouldn't pay. You shouldn't have to pay that much money.
Yeah, I mean it's a ton, right? I mean, and you know, and I don't know about other people, but yes, I understand. I'll be getting a Lightning cable with my iPhone, but you know what? I want to carry a cable with me so I can charge my phone. Using a USB charger or something, and I don't want to carry and potentially lose my only cable, so I'm going to buy another cable or another adapter or something. But you know, whichever I buy, it's still going to cost me $30 to $40. It looks like, and it won't work well with some things. So for example, the car mount I have is from ProClip, a great car mount, and I should note that they sent it to me for review purposes, so I did not pay for it. You know, I want to make that clear. But I still think it's a great car mount. It works well for me. You can find a review on mobileviews.com. And, but, you know, like any car mount, it's designed specifically for the iPhone 4 and 4S, I think. And if I add that little adapter on, it won't hold my iPhone 5 properly. In fact, because the iPhone 5 is thinner, it actually won't be flushed with the molding either. So, you know, all the way, I basically got to buy another mount.
You know, they should allow other people to make up, you know, to create adapters, some kind of adapter.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah. Well, they are, but apparently they're being very picky about who can do it and I guess what they can do.
Yeah. Well, that's Apple, yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
Not everything's, what does my wife like to say? Not everything's champagne and roses.
Yeah. Not so much the connector, but because it is a taller device than the iPhone 4 and 4S, which, you know, were more or less the same form factor, none of your cases will work with it now. Well, I should say none. There might be some that work, but very few will work with your... My cases won't work, I'll put it that way.
For me, that wouldn't be a big issue. But then, I don't have that many cases for my iPad.
Yeah.
I don't even have an iPhone, so...
Yeah.
For me, it'd be like, I get a new case.
Yeah, well, that's the other problem. You can't get a new case. There's no cases yet, right?
Yeah, because don't you want to just look at that beautiful piece and hold it in your hand and just stare at it? It's so beautiful and magical.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you know, it's powered by unicorn tears, but...
Exactly. I think I saw unicorn tears coming out of the people who were at that, for some of the VPs at Apple who were making the demo.
There you go.
tears coming out?
I think so. I think they're glistening and sparkling and things.
Actually, isn't what that background is? Is the standard background? Isn't that? That's not actually rain. Aren't those unicorn tears?
Well, you know, unicorn tears cost more than HP ink, HP inkjet ink. So, you know, it's very valuable stuff.
There you go. See, that accounts for the high price of the iPhone.
But
that's why it truly is magical.
There you go. But yeah, so you know, there's a you know the whole ecosystem because of the form factor change, because of the lightning connector change. You know. Everything you have, if you are a current iPhone user today, of any previous iPhone, nothing you have, you know, in terms of physical accessories will work. Your case, your cables, your speaker docks, your car docks. You know, the only thing that works basically will be the mini audio plug. And in fact, I think, didn't they change the position? So on the iPhone 4 and 4S, I believe, I know, actually, on mine, the audio jack is at the top of the iPhone. But I think they changed it to the bottom. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture. The audio mini plug for the audio is now at the bottom of the case. So it, if you look at the picture on apple.com/iPhone, if you look at the picture for external buttons and connectors, you'll see that the mini plug for the audio, you know, for your headset jack is at the bottom of the iPhone 5 instead of at the top where it has been for the 4 and 4S.
Yeah, well, you know, because they've gone through what? Years of research that shows that people really want it there.
I clip my iPhone to my belt, so I actually prefer it to be on top. But
no.
I'm wrong. I'm wrong, you're saying, right?
Yeah. It has to be there because they did all the research in their own little lab that shows that not only can you use it with one hand, still, people really want the cable to come from the bottom.
There you go.
It's better for everyone.
I'm sure that's true, and I'm going to have to get used to it, I guess.
I didn't even notice that part.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that seems pretty silly. Right? Does that seem silly?
You know, it changes a lot of things because, you know, my HTC HD7 has a jack on the bottom of the case, of the chassis, too. And the problem I have with that is that the case... the T-Mobile sells for the HD7 doesn't have a outlet for the... I think it doesn't, anyway. I don't think it has an outlet for the... or opening in the case for the headphone jack. Or if it does, you know, it's just basically... It's still not in the right place. Actually, let me grab my... Let's see, is it? Yeah. On the HD7, the headphone jack's on the bottom also.
Yeah, that's why you need a pen, right? To make your own hole.
I don't know. We'll.
You know, I didn't even notice that part about the jack from the bottom.
Yeah. And again, finally, although this is going really long, we're at almost an hour, and I hope we can upload this to my podcast service. I might have to break it up into two parts. But in any case, finally, then there's the EarPods.
Oh, I'm interested in those.
You know? Yeah, me too. I almost went to go buy them. You know, I had just, even though I have one coming in with my iPhone. But I am not a, what's the word? I'm not a golden ear. So I'm not one of those people with, you know, Inomatics or, you know, really high-end headphones. I pretty much use whatever comes with my phone. And Apple's current earbuds get a lot of hate because they do fall out. You know, they're not perfect, but, you know, they came with the phone. They work okay for me. I'm happy with them. And these are better. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't. You know how I bought those in-ear ones from Apple?
Right.
I give them to my daughter because they can't fit in my ear.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they keep them falling out because, I don't know, I must have really badly shaped ears.
Even with the alternative silicone things?
I tried every single one.
You tried all the sizes and nothing,
huh? They always pop out. So I give it to my daughter. My daughter, she loves them, but... I went back to the standard ones, like the one with the mic.
Right.
So those work, kind of, but they always fall out. Earphones have always fallen out of my ears.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have the same experience. But apparently Apple says they spent, you know, like tons of research on this, and that's why they're not round, right? That's
they tested it 124 different prototypes of the AirPods on over 600 people.
Yeah, that's a lot of ears.
So hopefully one of those people had ears like mine.
Yeah, and if not, you need to shoot a photo of a... Get Emil to do a 3D model of your inside of your ear and shoot it over to them.
Oh, that'd be great, Emil.
Hey, we should give a shout-out to Emil's company, Rapid Technologies, which does 3D modeling and 3D printing and sells printers and stuff.
Well, the funny thing, you know what I'm working on right now? As I'm talking, I'm working on an iPhone 5 case.
Nice. I need one.
Remember, ear jacks on the bottom.
Yeah, make an opening for that thing.
I'll mod them on the prototype I gave you, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah, I should have just looked at Emil's prototype. So Emil made an iPhone 5 to specs. He's got the buttons, and yes, there is an earphone jack on the bottom next to the speaker.
Oh, so you got it, right?
Oh, yeah. Emil has all the details. This is amazing. I'll post a photo of it with the podcast.
And yeah. That's the same one we're building cases off of.
Yeah.
You're printing the cases?
No, and this is something we're working out really quick because, of course, I'm going to wait till I actually see a physical iPhone 5 to verify everything. But, I mean, from specs, we can get close enough for silicone cases. And so, get the specs made. Get the thing out. So I can design a case a day if I want to. And I have different industry contacts or factory contacts over in China, and to see what they can make from my 3D work. So technically, we should be able to crank out some cases pretty fast if we need to.
Nice. Well, please do let me know when you have them. Shoot some photos over to me, and I'll post them on my blog.
I'm trying to see how easy it would be to do low runs and one-offs, because I'm trying to set up a thing so I can actually do one-offs, because I think I can actually do one-offs in the office and make you a real silicone case.
Wow, that's
kind of... print silicone, Emil?
No, but I mean, I have all the stuff to mold them rather easily, because I can print the molds.
Ah!
So I print the molds, and then all I do is pour in the silicone, and there you go.
Wow. Okay. So people working with you could really rapid prototype cases for the iPhone 5, like you said, daily if they want to.
Yeah.
Amazing. Hey, why don't you give your URL for your company so people listening can...
thinkrapid.com.
Okay, there you go. Thinkrapid.com. Free advertising. Okay, so we're hitting the one-hour mark, so I'm gonna close it off so I don't exceed my podcast services maximum file size. This has been a special Mobile Views podcast, but the first since March 1st. It's been half a year. Podcast number 59 with my buddies Jay Stone and Emil Reyes, and we're ranting and raving mostly about the iPhone 5. Mostly raves and talking about other people's rants, and of course my own rant about having to replace all of my accessories. But you know what? This will pass. Next, a year from now, it will not be an issue. But it will be an issue for a while, and it's going to cost me a bit of money. So I'm not the happiest camper in the world, but I am looking forward to seeing iPhone 5. We will talk to you later on either Mobile Views Podcast or a Comics Views Podcast, which I guess we won't do this weekend. Talk to you all later.